Welcome to the podcast. I'm Leo Brown, Cathivist, of course, where we look at people who are doing things out there that are certainly activistic, certainly focused on human dignity, social responsibility. That's what this is about. Forrest Day is my guest today with the, do you guys call it GEO or do
we
you?
We call it GEO.
Okay.
It's a lot to remember and to write. Guatemalan Educational Outreach. But we now, we just say Team G-O-K-Y.
Okay.
That's our web domain as well.
So so tell me about how all of this got going. What are you doing exactly and how it started?
Originally, I was involved in work in the medical side of the trips to Guatemala. I'm not a doctor, but I would go down and help do logistics for a surgery team.
And your wife got involved with this as
a
nurse?
Yes, she got involved with that. So we would go down and do that. And we would collect shoes, different, you know, could be toothbrushes, you know, that obviously the surgery team would do their part. And I, you know, was thinking and thinking the whole time while the process was going on, you know, how are we going to get this to, you know, to where they can be self-sufficient and sustained? You know, what happens when this pair of shoes wears out? What happens when one of the surgeons, you know, repairs a broken leg on a child? You know, it happens once we leave. Don't get me wrong. It's great. And I'm not criticizing anything anyone does that helps, you know, people in third world countries. But I was trying to think of a sustainability way. So got back to the States and a mutual friend introduced me to a priest. His name's Father Miguel. He's been in Lexington at Mary Queen. What is it in Versailles?
St. Leo.
Versailles is St. Lawrence.
St. Leo.
Yeah. And then there's St. Lawrence.
There's a St. Lawrence of Lawrenceburg.
And he was Versailles as well. Yeah. So anyway, great guy. So I met with him, you know, and his vision just kind of lined up with what I was thinking. We need to teach the kids, you know, something for self-sustainability. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, when he learned English, it had just opened up so many doors for him. He got a job at a call center in Guatemala City, and that helped him, you know, make a livable wage. So we kind of built on that, and we're like, okay, you know, if we can teach these children English is a second language. We looked at the jobs that were available in Guatemala City, and we found that banking has a need for English speakers, more people in tourism, and more people, obviously, in call centers. And they want kids that are fluent in English, you know, because when people come in from wherever, you know, the UK or the United States, you know, people are attracted to those individuals. I can tell you a personal story about a friend of mine there named Israel Lima. He works over by the Mayan ruins. Well, American guy flew in from Washington State, and he got off the plane, and all the people in Guatemala were speaking Spanish or broken, you know, English. And Israel, who is fluent, said, "Hello, sir. You know, I need. Do you need any help? You know, going to where you need to be." And he immediately got that job because of that. And he's been working for this man now for probably about five, six years or so. So, long intro there, I know, Leo. But yeah, that was essentially it. It was that was the beginning. So what we did after that is he had planned on going in January a couple of years ago. So I flew down there with him. We kind of did, you know, go and see.
This was with Father Miguel.
Yeah, with Father Miguel. Did kind of a go and see.
Back to his home.
Yeah, back
area.
To his, literally to his home.
Right.
And, you know, kind of scouted around, you know, where could this thing be? Kind of looked at it, you know, what their needs are, because, you know, we wanted to not, you know, throw something on them that basically wouldn't work. You know, we kind of tailored these ideas based off what we observed. So it was so striking, you know, the illiteracy right there.
Hmm. Even illiteracy in Spanish.
Spanish. Okay. Yeah. So
read or write in Spanish.
Yes.
Wow.
I had been there maybe a couple of hours, and I had an app on my phone, and I was trying to ask these four young ladies. I would say probably 12, 10, 8, and 5. I just something simple like, where do you go to school? I typed it into my app, and it translated it into Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed them the phone, and I went by each of the young ladies, you know, face to mm-hmm. show it to them, and none of them could read it. And then
Wow. That's
when it hit me. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, an entire, you know, generation mm-hmm. here of kids.
So not only is it a challenge that they don't speak English and could have those opportunities, they can't even read and write their own language.
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and who knows, you know, the quality of the, you know, the Spanish speaking part of it, you know, mm-hmm. the correct part. So, all of those girls had dropped out of school. So, it was so sad, you know, to see that. So, did more and more fact checking, looking around, went to 3-4 different schools in the area, you know, talked to the teachers, the principals, the families. And it's kind of interesting, you know, here as a school teacher, you know that paycheck is going to be in the mail or the bank, deposited in the bank every other Friday.
Right, sure.
But in Guatemala, it's iffy. Sometimes the teachers can go several months and not get paid. And then sometimes they have to go on strike in the middle of the year, the school year, for multiple days. So, you know, the kids are even, you know, missing out on their education.
Right. Even in the public school, it's not necessarily any guarantee that there's going to be something
That somebody's going to be there.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, one of the things I did more research on the internet about the country as a whole. And one of the articles stated that even the issue with clean water and sanitation within the existing schools are sparse, minimal classroom equipment, very few materials. So, you know, the kids they're even with they go, they're at such a disadvantage compared to the kids, you know, in the United States.
Right, sure. So all of this, then, you said, what can we do? What can we do that's sustainable? What can we do that's not just giving them something? How can we come down here and build something that's going to make a long-term difference? And that was how all of this got born.
Yes.
To create a school in Guatemala.
Yes. And I kind of borrowed an idea from my dad about doing ecumenical projects because it was so successful.
Now, your dad, who's
he was a retired minister now in Louisiana, but he did ran an organization called the Greater Federation of Churches and Synagogues in Baton Rouge.
Hmm.
So they fed they all worked together. They were all on a board together. The concept was, a lot of times churches will do hit and miss projects in the community. You know, they might serve a meal on Thanksgiving or do something here. So they got together and worked on, you know, and got a plan together as all members of different faiths to actually, you know, solve some of the problems.
And so pool the resources.
Pull the resources, yeah. So they went in, they served breakfast every day in Baton Rouge and, you know, mentor the people coming in and, you know, just try to help them. And it's been going on, I would say, probably almost 20 years.
Wow.
So, as I said, I borrowed that idea. I said, you know, what can we do? Let's go find some people from different faiths, you know, the best people that really, you know, that's their passion, you know, to go out and actually get involved in – you know, doing mission work, you know, and you know, just they want to help and they'll do it. So we have Catholics, Presbyterians, a friend of mine that goes to Independent Christian Church in Georgetown is on the board, and we're always looking to add board members. And you don't have to be, you know, a person that, you know, goes to church to be on the board and help. You know, we
you'll take atheists as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, we like to basically, you know, take people that are spiritual as well, because, you know, we don't run into that. You know, I haven't ran into anybody, you know, that's per se an atheist, but I've had people say, well, hey, you know, I'm spiritual. I'm not going to a specific church, you know, can I help? And, you know, absolutely.
You know what, Pope Francis had this to say, and of course he got all kinds of flack about it, but he said, hey, even to the atheists, that's great. We'll meet you doing good, right? And I think that's, you know, when you talk about ecumenical work, and as Catholics, we look at when we get together and we do something for the common good. When we do that, that's true ecumenism. It's not necessarily, I've got to believe everything you believe, or I've got to understand even, or I've even got to accept what you believe. But look, we can get together and we can realize there's a problem here that we need to address, and we can work on that together, right? And that's what you're doing. I mean, that is true ecumenism. So you get the Catholic priest kind of heading this up, Father Miguel. What is his position?
He is the president of Guatemalan Educational Outreach.
Okay.
And I am the chairman of the board.
Okay.
And to further on, so we basically went back, came back to the States after that trip, and then we basically just decided, okay, are we diving in on this project and really trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together? So we picked one of the buildings down there that we wanted to use, confirmed that we could use it once we got back to the States.
So you found a location?
We found a location, okay. Yeah, to just start out small, start out as a kindergarten.
Okay.
So we started raising money, getting people interested, commuting board members, and we went back the following July. We got lists together of what we needed material-wise and all our project needs, and then we made one more trip back down there to actually implement it. We made sure the roof was sealed. We added an additional bathroom into this. It's actually a house, so it's truly a schoolhouse. So we took the shower out of one area and put in a bathroom so the boys and girls could have their own two classrooms. Put in playground equipment, built a privacy fence.
Wow.
With the locals. So we work really hard.
So that's where all of the funding has gone so far.
So we got all that done. And then about a month ago, we started a drive to raise the salaries for the teachers. So one of the teachers is from Lexington. Her name is Raina Slaymaker. She went through the Spanish immersion at Bryan Station, and she is actually taught in Istanbul, Turkey.
Oh, wow.
After she got out of college. She has I think her major is international studies and her minor is Spanish, but her Spanish is perfecto.
Right.
So what we did, we took her down there and made sure she was fine with everything, you know, like, okay, is she going to want to live?
Because
this place is really rural.
Oh, yeah.
And
A lot of mountains.
Yeah. So she bought into it and saw her yesterday. She's excited about it. But anyway, back to what I was saying, we're doing the salary drive. So we'll have – she'll be teaching a half day with two different sets of children. And the Spanish teacher will be teaching like the AB block with their kids.
And just kindergarten to start?
Yeah, just kindergarten. Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the big thing, you know, we had talked about before, Leo, you know, running these nonprofits. It's it's like you're doing great work, but you know, ultimately you're not really producing a product to make up, you know, the money. It's always, you know, you have to live on what you can get from, you know, the general public.
Sure.
Once they see, you know, and you have to convince them and show them the passion, the project,
yeah, right.
You know, so it's tough, but it's coming together. We open January the 6th.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's going to be so awesome to have a grand opening. We'll have 20 to 24 kids.
Wow.
I've already got 12 signed up. So,
wow.
It's wonderful.
So, Forrest, the hope down the road would be you start with kindergarten, you start this, you get this kind of going. Next year, those kids would go into a first grade and you'd have a new kindergarten batch and you would just kind of keep growing off of that year after year?
Yes, that's the plan. We hope that you know, people see the kids in class, you know, they see their life circumstances, you know, that will, you know, make them want to get involved and help out. But yes, we would like to take it basically a K through 12, class, you know, maybe 20, 25 kids each class and just move them up the chain, you know, all the way through high school. Because, as I said, you know, we know at the end, you know, these kids, we will get the return on the investment because we've taught these kids, you know, English from a native speaker, and we know that they can get a job to where they can sustain themselves because, you know,
and also taught them Spanish. They taught them how to.
Yeah.
Grammatic, I'm guessing they'll
yes,
be that, right?
Yeah, that's that.
Reading, writing, and
yeah, absolutely,
just,
yeah, I mean, yeah,
which
yeah.
is invaluable as well.
Absolutely,
wow.
And you know, the immigration thing is a big deal right now. And you know, and I tell people, you know, I can talk to liberals and conservatives about this, and you know, the message resonates with both because the people that are liberal, you know, they want to. Just, you know, help out,
mm-hmm.
You know, do what they can for humanity. And I'm not saying the conservatives don't, but on their conservative side, you know, their issue is you know, people coming to the U.S. illegally.
Right.
And that, you know, that's not good. And I'll explain that further in just a second. So the, you know, we don't want the children taking the dangerous trek from Guatemala to get to the United States. I mean, it's so dangerous. Mm. People enslaved coming up through Mexico, robbed, women raped, sold into prostitution, you know, men, whatever money that they kind of brought to get established in the U.S.,
because they get
stolen from them.
And they're
yes.
crossing two borders because they're coming up
yes.
through Mexico.
Yes.
And if they make that, then they've still got another border to cross. And
yeah.
it's just it is a treacherous journey for them.
Yeah. And yeah. and the paths that they take to come to the U.S., all the criminals in Mexico know exactly which way they're going to be walking. And they prey upon them as they go.
Wow.
So, you know, I think, you know.
And I want to talk about that real quick because I think there's something interesting because to us as Americans, we look at immigration, especially the southern border, illegal immigration, and it's easy to think that it's all the same, right? That
yes.
anybody crossing that border, they're exactly the same. But there are some who do cross from Mexico. There are Mexicans who come in.
Yes.
But those who come from Central America, Guatemala, areas of that nature, they're strangers in a strange land before they even become strangers in a stranger land. And I don't think that we even think about that. And so what you're saying, I find so fascinating because you're solving the challenge and it's a long-term plan here. We're not talking about something that's going to fix tomorrow, but you're talking about getting kids educated, guided toward staying really where they are with the skill set that's going to be not only is it going to be beneficial to them, but it's going to be beneficial to their local economy. It's going to be beneficial to their homes, whatever, because you're going there to actually, and it's the old adage, right? Give somebody a fish, they eat for a day. Teach them how to fish, they'll eat for a lifetime. And what you're doing is teaching these kids how to fish effectively to go to Guatemala City and find the opportunities, as opposed to just assume that because they can't read or write even their own language, because of lack of education, that they've got to somehow make that trek into the golden land of opportunity of America. No, you can actually be there. And Forrest, you're right. I mean, this is across the political spectrum, because there are conservatives who would be like, that's great, right? Yeah. You're stemming illegal immigration. There are those who are more liberally minded who would be like, that's great, you're helping out in their homeland. So it's truly, this is a nonpartisan sort of perspective on this. I think you're hitting on a lot of really good cylinders when it comes to it is, you know, yeah, it may be headed by a Catholic priest, but it's not a Catholic outreach. You're doing this across all faiths and no faiths. It doesn't matter. Be a part of this, help out, understand what's going on. But, you know, and I also like the fact that this is not a quick fix, right? It's not a quick fix. And I think that we so oftentimes we'll be like, okay, well, there are times that have to be quick fixes. We got a natural disaster. We came through the hurricane season recently. We saw the things that happened there. We got to get money there. We got to do what we can. And still, it's a long-term plan to get rebuilt. But now what you're talking about is we're talking about something that could be generationally it could be cycle breaking, right? You're breaking these cycles of poverty, of the illiteracy, all of these things that have just been challenges there. This is it's a big solution. It's really a big solution. I think that's an important element to share, because it's not something that looks like the other, let's take some shoes down. Yeah, they need shoes. They need shoes. Let's understand that. But it's not just that. Let's build something that's going to have a real longevity. And I think that's incredibly impressive.
Yeah. And the thing as well is we forget sometimes, need to be reminded, you know, these are our, you know, for the ones of us that are Christians, those are our, you know, they're our Christian brothers and sisters as well. You know, they are evangelicals in Guatemala. They're Catholics.
And they're the least of these, as scripture is clear about.
And one of the things, you know, when people, you know, criticize, you know, people that come here, what they don't realize is the turmoil going on, especially, you know, with some of the men that come. Father Miguel took me up on the top of this mountain, and we looked down on this area of this town. And he pointed at that house. He said, "See how nice that house is, how nice that one is, that nice is." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "So?" He said, "All of those three, the man, the male in the house, the father, whatever, came to the U.S. illegally and is working up there. And sending money back." Wow. But here's the problem. The dad cannot come home. The children are growing up unsupervised. And it just creates so many problems. He said that all three of those families that he told me about, the children are having issues with drugs or gangs. So it doesn't do any good, you know, a lot of times, you know, for them to, you know, come to the United States, because it destroys the family unit. It doesn't do, you know, that even makes it worse, you know, and more to overcome. So
And my guess is there would have to be something just from kind of a socioeconomic impact of here's these guys who seem to have something different, right? I mean, that would obviously create some sort of challenges there as well. That would be my guess. So for us, as we wrap up here, what's the best way that someone can find you to help you to contribute? And we'll put all of these links in our show notes as well.
Yes. I want to emphasize that all the volunteers that go to Guatemala, we pay our way. We pay for our own hotel, and we pay for our own food.
So when you go down, you're covering
you're on your dime.
Each individual is covering their own cost, so it's no strain on the organization.
Yes. Every bit goes into teacher salaries in the school itself. The easiest way to get a hold of us is go to Team G-O-K-Y. That's just TEAMGEOKY.com or .org, either one. And you can learn about us. And you can also find us on Facebook as well, Guatemalan Educational Outreach.
You got donation links on your,
donation
on your site.
Links on there. And we are a 501c3. So we will send you out a receipt and a thank you with your donation.
Sure.
And I wanted to, you know, let people know the to sponsor a child the whole year is $1,100. But, you know, obviously, you know, most people are just doing partial scholarships or just, you know, just donating. But we want to just throw it out there, you know, to how much, you know, it costs, you know, per child, you know, per year to actually, you know, doing what we want to do, get these children
and if somebody,
ahead.
If, I mean, you think about it, you break that down to $100 a month.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know that that's more than most people want to give.
Yeah.
But a lot of us could give that if we really had a heart for this to say, you know what, I can do $100 a month. I can make sure a kid's going to get an education. And that you're doing that to change a future. It's
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I think is so important.
Absolutely. You know, $50 a month is basically a half a scholarship.
Sure.
And, you know, we say watch your investment go. Watch your investment grow. And by that we mean we'll be posting videos and pictures of the kids, you know, all year. You know, we want you to, you know, to see what you're getting for your, you know, your money. A lot of times, you know, when you send it off to, you know, agencies, you know, I'm sure that are well and responsible, but you just never know what you're getting. And we want to make everything as transparent as we possibly can. You can call Father Miguel if you have any questions specifically at St. Leo and Versailles. You can call me. The phone numbers are on the brochures, the phone numbers on the website, the phone numbers on the Facebook page.
Okay.
So we are easily accessible.
Awesome. Forrest, man, great talking to you.
Hey, enjoyed it. Yeah. Thank you for getting this message out.
Absolutely.